forever. Dog.
Hi everyone, my name is Clay Tatum. I am an army in the Doge army. Also, that means I invest in Doge, and also I'm in the I'm a soldier in the U.S. Army, and I've done 4 tours of duty. Also, there's Rod is here.
Hi.
When I told him about my 4 tours, he also did a duty in his pants. And we also have Whitmer Thomas. His birthday just happened, and I promised him I wouldn't tell him everyone how old he is, but he was born in 1980, so you do the math. And then we have Christian Lee Hudson, who famously once almost changed his name when he found out Bill Maher didn't like Christians. But then he found out that he was talking about their religion. And so he was that.
Is that true, Christian? Because you love Bill Maher.
I do. I love Bill Maher.
Yeah.
What were you going to change your name to?
Cash.
Oh,
that's the one thing he loves.
Because he loves cash.
Yeah.
He loves cash.
I was going to change it to Cash Sanders, because...
Because why?
I just, like, wanted... I don't know. If I'm not going to just change one name. I want to change, like, the whole thing, I guess.
I was thinking about...
Cash Hudson sounds weird.
Well, I was thinking Hudson has a good ring to it as a last name. And when I first saw your name, I called you Huston, I think, in my brain. I was like, classic. That's Huston.
That's the one thing that you remember going to bed.
I was embarrassed. I never said it. I didn't know you personally.
But when you go to sleep, that's the first thing you remember. Mm-hmm. Slipping up the
you
name.
You don't have to keep yourself up with that stuff.
Well, I've changed. Now I know your real last name.
Yeah. I mean, and whatever happened, you know, back then, let's just leave it in the past.
It's in the past.
Yeah.
It's a... Me and you met on online, and then in real life became friends.
You're talking about the internet?
Yeah.
Wow, where online? Where are you guys meeting?
On Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, let's just break it down here. And then through our friendship became you and Clay's friendship.
Yeah.
Sorry, don't let me get
me, me and Clay became friends in this room.
And then through that came you and Rod's friendship.
Yeah. We became friends like outside this
in room. in the perimeter of the
just right the outside just of the room. You can kind of see the spot out there.
Are you familiar with Juul?
The e-cigarette?
The singer. The singer-songwriter.
Times have changed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's how you know your career is not
is
going
Juul
well.
Dreams. I don't know. Last time I got yelled at for singing something that was
you can
intellectual
do
property in this room.
Christian and me and Clay made a movie together, and Christian in one scene sang an entire song, basically.
I will say this.
By John Denver.
I was editing, and I don't know if you know this, but I was editing, and I couldn't hear what you guys were talking about in the alley. There's a scene where he walks down the alley. Mm. Nothing but name brands.
But you can do all that. It's just our producer gets like nervous.
We did talk about Baja Man
and about how Taco Bell is getting sued or something, and so.
Well, that was Teresa.
I won't.
But yeah.
But I'm keeping it in because I don't really care about that stuff. But
Clay.
But you know what?
Is Baja that's intellectual property?
No, it's like you can't.
PepsiCo owns that.
You can say it, you just can't slander it.
Yeah, is like being sueable slander? That's the only question.
I don't know.
Anywho, gang, our producer's gonna have a heart attack, and I actually might enjoy that.
Yeah, because you're punk.
I'm punk.
Yeah.
But so, man, Christian, y'all nailed it. I'm watching back.
Oh yeah, it's dynamite. I can't wait for you to see it. It's great, Christian.
What was your thoughts making it?
You know, I can't. I was just so in it that it's hard to remember. It's kind of blacked it out. Yeah. My main thought was like, I hope that this thing on my lip isn't contagious.
You brought it up beforehand, and then I've been editing it. I haven't noticed it once.
Well,
I didn't notice it on the day.
I mean, I wonder if it's still. No, it's gone now. But it was. You wouldn't see it unless you were like. I don't know if I made a point to show Teresa, but
right. Oh yeah, you can't see it.
She was
nowhere to be seen.
My mouth's always covered in sores. you know.
It's yeah, okay. You just have to be careful which one's open. Because
you keep on eating candy off the ground.
I won't stop licking candy up off the ground.
You see Rangers. A delicious piece of candy on
the ground. Honestly, I'm surprised you find so much candy on the ground.
Oh, Highland Park's covered in ground candy.
Yeah.
I should. You think there's any places I can live, move in around?
Oh, there? All over. This place is nothing but vacancies. Highland Park, famous for its vacancies. So, Jewel, when was the last time you thought about Jewel?
I think like a week ago.
Really?
Yeah, the singer-songwriter. Yeah. Dreams last so long even after you're gone.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Jewel, right?
Yeah.
That's the only Jewel song I know.
Man, so we just watched a video about that, about her follow-up album to all of her folksy or yodely or albums, where she has that, "Now your thoughts, your intuition." You know that song? She goes pop.
It's ringing some kind of bell, yeah. Yeah.
She does a big pop song, and it's...
And then we watched...
Really, it stinks.
We watched good? No, it's bad.
It stinks.
Well, then after that, we watched a video of Jewel and Jessica Simpson singing "Who Will Save Your Soul" together. This is freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
Everybody listening, go watch Jessica Simpson singing with Jewel. Jessica Simpson, you know, is like trying her best to do Jewel while just singing with
heads
her.
Heads up, gang. If I was really good at this podcast, I would throw in a clip right now. But to be honest with you, the season finale of Circles tonight, and I got to release this tomorrow, and I'm not going to edit.
Right, yeah, of course.
So, I'm sorry, gang.
Well, here's how it goes. It goes, Jewel just goes, "Who will save your soul?" And she has that kind of like milk in the throat.
Yeah.
And then Jessica hears that and goes, "Another day, another dollar, another little dollars, and then there's a man on the corner on his..." And then it's just freaking hilarious. Everybody go watch it. But also what's funny noticing Jewel is like now is like she's perfect for what she is.
She's perfect.
She's perfect. Mm-hmm. Her lyrics are very much like, "You know, there's a man on the corner asking for change. So I gave him a quarter." He said, I'm not talking about money." You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the vibe of her lyrics.
She's like 90s wannabe Joni Mitchell. Yeah. In my mind or whatever.
She just really hits it when she thinks she says something like clever, something that's like...
Yeah, she leans in.
She's like, "I hit that one and people are going to want to hear that."
Oh, yeah. So I should say it loud and proud.
Slow down the song a little. Let them hear that.
Yeah, they need to. Man, I mean, this... I just freaking hilarious. But like, she's like, what happened to Jewel? After that album, the pop album she did, she gone.
Well, the pop album was the reason she gone.
Okay.
Is there any... There's nothing after the pop album. Mm-mm.
I mean, not that I know of. I'm sure there is, but
we'd have to really look into Jewel. I guess I can look on my phone.
I feel like we all should.
No, I don't think there is. I don't think there's anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet she's probably writing songs.
Yeah.
Right? She probably writes pop songs somewhere.
Every mom in America, when they heard Jewel, full body chills.
Oh, boy.
The first note of that guitar.
My mom wasn't a Jewel girl, though.
What was she? Third Eye Blind?
No. What was the other girl? Well, she
loved Everclear.
She would borrow my Third Eye Blind. She loved my... she had Everclear that I would borrow from her.
Oh, yeah.
And then your guys' cell phones are making a goofy noise.
Okay, well, listen. This is important.
She got a lot of albums after
She's got
that
tons of albums.
Oh, yeah. I'll
the Merry Goes Round, 2011.
See, that gave herself chills.
Picking Up the Pieces, 2015.
What about Cigarette in My... Yeah, Cigarette in My...
Mouth.
Well, sometimes I get
was
those
that artist?
Sweet and Wild.
I got a what's a who?
I got a cigarette
in my pocket.
I got a cigarette in my pocket. And
Alanis Morissette. Wait,
Alanis Morissette. She loved Alanis Morissette.
Oh, yes. What about what kind of music was your mom listening to, Christian?
My mom was listening to... I remember listening to Sheryl Crow when we moved here, but I think that was like my mom... moved from the Midwest out to L.A. Sheryl Crow's a little bit country, a little bit Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then just, like, Christmas music.
Nonstop.
Oh, wow.
That's nice.
No, we just didn't listen to... She didn't listen to music that often, so just, you know, Sheryl Crow
just
sometimes.
Just for the holidays.
Yeah.
She'd turn it on.
The Seal song, too, from Batman Forever.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. It's the best part of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of the Batman Schumacher cut. You know, there's the hashtag release the Schumacher cut. Apparently.
What?
Apparently. There's
aren't they all? Aren't the last two the Schumacher cut?
No, there's a bigger, longer one. That
there's a 5-hour.
There's more movie.
Batman and Robin. Edited down. Ooh, and it's Batman, Val Kilmer meets a big bat or something in it.
They cut that
is
out.
Is it Man Bat?
They cut out. Do you know about Man Bat?
Yeah, from the cartoon.
That's why we're friends.
Yep. Pronounced Batman.
You got Clay over here not knowing anything about Man Bat.
This is a Batman movie Batman. That we're going to talk about today.
Well,
I think you got the two words mixed around.
Clay thinks like every time I talk about Man Bat, he thinks I'm just saying Batman wrong.
Right. I still think that.
You know, now Clay's quivering with anger.
I never even put that together.
You know.
Man Bat. That's fucking clever.
Oh, dude, you got to see Man Bat in the freaking video game I'm playing. He's covered in goo. He's wet and he yells at you.
He's wet.
Yeah, I remember him from the cartoon. He's gross.
Yeah.
He has some paperbacks in his pocket. Is that why the goo is around him?
Paperbacks.
He's talking about paperback porno.
Oh, some porno?
You know what I'm talking about.
Ah, paperback porno. So
is he wearing little pants in there?
Yeah, he's wearing some little skinny jeans.
He's a little bit like he's gross, but he's kind of hot too. Like he's got like a really like
who is
bulgy
this?
Barrel. Barrel chested.
Yeah, barrel chested.
Mm-hmm. Man Bat is wearing like a pair of Levi's in this game.
Oh yes. Some 5'11s.
Yeah. They're definitely 5'11s. They're like tight little numbers.
Yeah. So
what game is this?
Not in the game. In the game.
Oh, outside the game, he wears
Levi's. We're talking
the
about the
talking
cartoon.
About Batman.
When he's not in the game, he's wearing Levi's. In the series.
What's he wearing in the game?
I think he's wearing some, like, doctor pants.
Oh.
Who is this guy?
That's Scrubs.
Weird. Oh, because he's probably a doc. They're all doctors.
Yeah, all these guys. Sometimes your doctor turns you into a freaky little monster.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Talking about Man Bat again?
So, out of practice, he's wearing Levi's.
In the 90s, he was wearing Levi's. Now it's 2020. He wears.
He's more of a casual doctor in the animated series.
He's probably got some dockers on.
Yeah.
Is that a doctor that we're talking about?
Doctor and some dockers.
Okay.
So, Christian, this podcast, we love paperback porno.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So, on the Patreon.
The band.
The band, Paperback Porno. Yeah, they got so many good songs.
Yeah.
They
freaking rip.
Yeah, they got so much good songs. They got Mountain Girl.
I don't know.
They got
I only listen to Clap Your Hands Say Yeah.
Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah. That era of music is really funny. What was the other band that was all of the songs had like a I am a dog boo da dee doo doo. Hey.
Oh yeah, they had hey.
It's like is that like Vampire Weekend vibe?
Yeah, it was like that era, like there was another one called, what was it called? They was just a drummer and a girl, and they were always bopping and booping.
I mean, it could be either.
Are you talking about?
It could be Mates of State. It could be.
Ooh, Mates of State, Matt and Kim.
Matt and Kim.
Yeah.
The thing I like about Clap Your Hands Say Yeah, and sort of Modest Mouse is another band that I would put in this category, is you can't understand a word that any of them are saying. But it's like not mixed so that you can't. It's just like bad enunciators.
Yeah, that's like a real luxury because people can just find what you're saying. And you know, like if anybody would have heard my lyrics in my screamo like metalcore band that me and Clay were in, I would have. I mean, I'm so grateful that no one could understand what I was saying. That's probably I'd be clearing the damn room. There you go. He said what?
You said what? We will grill this out. He said what?
He said what to me?
Wait, did Screamo kids in the South have Southern accents?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone does.
Yeah, man.
That's the South.
I got a whole joke about it. I can go into it.
Oh, you do.
It's just weird to me to think of like the classic scene kids.
Well, you would always want to sing. You would want to sing in a California accent.
Well, you'd want to sing like that, but talking, it would be very funny, like, all the super
slipping right into
deep
bit.
Scenes. No, this is not part of the bit.
I never thought about the scene kids.
But they
in the
all
South.
Had this like internet Southern voice. It wasn't like the, you know how the internet voice of the coasts is
talking
like
about Siri.
No, you know internet person voice, like person raised on the internet is like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like they all have that weird thing in their voice. The Southern emo kids would be like,
all I want to do after this is go to IHOP.
Or, it's like a 90s singer. I know a guy that sounds like that. You sound like a 90s singer songwriter.
Dude, let's just go to IHOP. Dude, you can go into my Subaru. I don't, or my Suburban.
You can smoke in my Subaru.
You could smoke. You could smoke in here. Dude, yeah, let's do it.
My mom smokes in here.
Hey, do you care if I borrow your lamp? Dude, hey, don't forget to tell everybody to go to the merch booth.
Don't forget. Dude, that's what they would scream. Clay, do you remember that, Clay?
I have Chris yelling at
you. Chris and Justin screaming at me. Clay was lucky. He didn't have to say anything. He was detached. He would turn his bass all the way down. And I would be like giving it my all, but I wasn't talking. I never talked in between songs. And they'd be like, dude, you need to tell them right now to visit the merch booth.
Well, you had to understand. They were turning 20, and we were still...
We were like 15.
They were 15. We're still in school. We don't need to make commerce out of this.
Yeah. Did you play shows in high school?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What were the bands?
I was in like a folk punk. It was like a Tom Waits if it was sung by a teenager.
Gotcha. Like did you do it?
I tried to, but it was voice? Yeah. I tried to, but it was like came out. Yeah, just didn't. It's like
I like that. I feel like I would really like that.
Clay
you,
would probably.
You
love
actually
it.
Might really like it. Yeah. It was like weirdly also. I feel like when you're a teenager and you're trying to do Tom Waits, you end up with Primus.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's
kind of
what
it makes sense. Yeah.
You end up going there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just like yeah, so I played shows with that band mainly in high school.
What was the you grew up in Santa Monica?
I grew up in Santa Monica.
So in our area what was cool was folk punk,
mm-hmm.
and
like this bike is a pipe bomb
or yeah. Norma Jean style hardcore or like a thrashy, very
hardcore, like breakdowns and like really chugging.
Yeah, so that was the type of. I don't know why folk punk, train hopping punk was very big.
That was very big out here for a while, but that didn't happen until after, maybe toward the end of high school or like after I was 18, like folk punk became big, and then that morphed into like. Everybody in LA wants to be Southern and be like a cowboy.
That's like right when me and Clay moved here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everybody
that
was like
huge here.
Did you ever, though, have a big, big floppy hat?
Oh, yeah.
Not a cowboy hat.
Oh, like a Conor Oberst?
Yeah, yeah, like hat? One of those big ones.
I did, but it didn't. I knew immediately what didn't work on me.
I messed up.
See, we didn't get in. This was the time of my life where I was the least inspired I've ever been. It was like that this. Era of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, like, I don't like the floppy hat thing. I'm from the South, so I don't like want.
Yeah, and, I moved out here for a reason. Yeah. I didn't.
And so I was like. Desperately trying to just be like an animal collective person.
Okay, yeah.
But well, it was you were so.
I wasn't connecting though, but I was hard going hard for animal.
You were, yeah.
I was animal, trying.
Animal collective on this, that CD was just wrecked your car probably.
Oh yeah.
The way
people going.
That's just, another sort of. I mean, that's like a more hippie-ish version of like yeah. Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah.
Yeah.
Band.
I remember the animal, like listening to Animal Collective and just kind of waiting for the song to start.
Yeah.
Like
they it just do a lot, feels like a whole long intro.
Yeah, it's a really long intro.
Yeah, like we're gonna get into it real quick, but just five more minutes of this.
We have like 5 minutes of Kungas, and then like, or you know, yeah.
Do you have recordings of those old bands?
Somewhere I do. I mean, there's probably shit on YouTube that is just like I would never want anyone to find ever, but you could go look it up. The band was called the 1921A.
Cool.
It was named by the 30-year-old that lured me into the band.
Oh, cool. That's really
were
cool.
You a were you ever a shredder, like a distorted guitar shred guy?
I want like when I first my very first band I was like yeah like I'm gonna be like I mean I wasn't like shreddy I was like distortion pedal all the way up. Let's play Nirvana covers. in the garage until we get told to stop.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But no, I never, the first time I like shredded was as almost like a 30-year-old man.
And now you're wanting to shred more, would you say?
I would say, yeah, I want to explore that side of myself.
Because you have, I saw a video you posted of someone doing a guitar solo on your new record.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty sick.
It's nice to have a
shred. I think the guitar solo needs to come back.
I think it could come back.
What would you say killed the guitar solo?
Well, I'm famously anti-guitar solo.
But unless Jay Maskus is doing it.
No, I've told you that before. I would listen to Dinosaur Jr., and when the guitar solo comes on, it's time for the next song. I don't like this shit. Take it out of the song.
I mean, sometimes...
like, stop.
Sometimes guitar solo too long, and I don't need that.
You don't need it.
I love that.
I think, like, the Strokes, when they do a guitar solo that's, like, interesting, they hit like, a sour note every now and again.
But their guitar solos are, like, more almost riffs.
Yeah,
like, or like, there's, like, a... specific you also melody.
Know, you know I'm a cake man, and cake guitar is goofy as hell, too. I like that. I like goofy guitars.
Oh, I like a... You know, like my brother's a big-time guitar solo guy. And so he did a guitar solo on my record, and then we had to go film the live show like a couple weeks later, and I was like, Johnny, do the guitar solo from the record.
Guitarlos. Is what it sounded like.
Well, that's his nickname.
Guitarlos.
Guitarlos Santana.
Yeah.
No, Guitarlos.
And he is always stealing other solos and putting them into his own songs.
Yeah.
And Johnny goes, I'm not learning that. That was from the heart in the moment. I'm just going to wing it again. Yeah. All right. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
And how was it?
He did good, but, you know, I love the one he did on the album.
You're a purist.
Did you feel like it was from his heart when he did it live?
It felt like every time he ever did it with me live, he was having a really hard time remembering when he's supposed to go do it.
Oh, you can't do it from the heart then when you're like waiting.
But that's our whole hometown. Every musician is like, I'm like, dude, just listen to for the line. That's why I'm 42 or something. Mm-hmm. And then you know that you're about to, our whole home, every musician we ever grew up playing with, there's no way they're going to listen to the lyrics of the song. Are you kidding me? Give me a good jam. Give me some breakdowns. Give me some freaking something to dance to and a long guitar solo or some reggae where you're just like saying one thing over and over again.
You guys are from the same hometown.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe this is where your aversion to guitar solo comes from, your hometown.
Maybe.
Well, your dad loves jam bands, too.
My dad loves jam bands.
Oh, yeah.
Enough of that stuff.
Hey, everybody. This is the B-Man, OBW, from the World Record Podcast. And I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over Office Hours Live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show!
It's showtime!
What kind of music does your dad like?
He likes Kid Rock.
Nice.
Yeah.
What is he doing later?
My dad?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I don't know.
Give him your dad's number.
Is your dad like Kid Rock?
My dad likes Allman Brothers. You ever heard of a band called OAR?
Or.
Yeah.
Is it OR or OAR?
It's OAR.
Does it stand for something? Or it's just...
I have no idea. Okay. My dad didn't really take me to. But when I was in high school.
He didn't teach you that.
When I was in high school, I woke up one day and was like, where's dad? And they go, well, he's following around the band OAR.
I'm going to start a band called NIRVANA. You
going to start that? Say that again?
I'm going to start a band called NIRVANA.
It stands for something, but I can't. It's too long.
I'll explain it later.
I'll write it out for you.
Yeah, so this is the name of the band I'm going to start.
My dad called me a couple years ago, and he was like, he had never really been to a concert before that wasn't like, you know, I was playing or something like that. And he's like, hey, Christian, I'm trying to Lori and I are thinking about going up to Columbus to the big stadium up there and watching the Kid Rock show, and I just need your advice. And he's like, you got your regular tickets. They're, I don't know, they're $100 each. And, you know, you think there's going to be screens there so you can see them, you know? Or you think it's something where it's like, I need to be up close. Because they also got these $1,000 tickets.
Holy.
And what you get with $1,000 tickets is you get unlimited beer for the whole night.
$1,000 worth.
And you could see Kid Rock up. So you could see the sweat on his face from where the seats are there. But do you think that's worth it?
What'd you say?
I was trying to be straight up with him and just be like, well, is that important to your experience of Kid Rock? Is that worth it? I can't answer that.
Right.
For me, I'm like, no, it isn't worth it. I see Kid Rock and I wouldn't see him.
One time.
That's not for me. I'm not going to go.
I one time saw Neutral Milk Hotel at the Hollywood Bowl one time, and they refused to be on the screen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then why play? Just go home, you fucking dummies.
Clay, you have a lot of resentment for 90s alt rock or 90s indie rockers.
Clay's talked about this a few times.
That makes me mad.
It pissed
too.
Me off more than. I'm like, and also he, like, I'm like, listen, we all know what CDs we all listen to.
Yeah.
Play the hits, my man.
You don't even do this band anymore.
How about we do this?
You're getting paid.
He played like an hour of field recordings or something.
Yeah, and I walked to the cameraman's, tell him turn on the cameras, play the hits, let's go. Like, that's what the fuck.
Imagine having that many hit songs and not wanting to play.
He played like two. He played two. He didn't like. There's like, the album has like
10
of all
them?
The songs.
Yeah,
right.
Have you guys ever seen Bob Dylan live?
Oh yeah,
it's so funny.
It's hilarious.
Have you ever seen him when he decides to do a good job?
No.
Doesn't he once a year just like decide to do a really good show? He's trolling everybody, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he does sometimes.
Isn't he like performance art at this point?
Yeah, kind of.
It really is. Like, I saw him the first time when I was 16 years old at the Forum, and I was so excited.
Yeah, I saw him at the Forum, too.
Did he play keyboards the whole time?
Yes, he did, yeah.
He, like, loves to play the fucking keyboards.
Heads up, gang. So, Bob just found out about keyboards, so let's bear with him.
You can only play C and F, so you guys got to change all the songs to C and F.
That's what it is, basically.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And then you're kind of listening, and you're like,
what is this?
Is it? Oh, I do know this song. That's actually okay.
You're like, this is like a Rolling Stone. Wow, it took me. It's like almost the end of the song now.
But he's been doing that for so long, like 15 years, right?
Yeah, that's like, kind of why you go to, or you go so you can be in the same room as Bob.
Yeah, you're like, is this cool?
You know who's really
him?
Good at that, though? Paul McCartney. He knows how to put on a show. I've never seen him live. I would love to.
I haven't either, but I've heard it's amazing.
I heard he knows what people want here.
He plays a shitload of Beatles songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all know why we're here. But then, and then again, I'm a Paul man. So, I like his solo stuff.
Do you remember being a kid, though, and going to see a band and you just...
I'm also a cake man, did I tell you?
I'm a cake man myself. Even when I was a kid, I would go see a band I love.
Yeah.
And think, they decided to end right now. I'd probably a bit.
I've done that every show. Except for, the only one I think, who have I not done that to? Deerhoof. I saw Deerhoof one time. I'm a Deerhoof man, you know about that,
right?
And I was like, I could do more Deerhoof after this.
I think maybe there's a couple. There's Blink-182.
Yeah.
Oh, I could do the whole thing.
I've seen Connor play a long time ago.
I think Blink-182 Bright Eyes show, play a long time ago. I was like, ago. I could stay for more.
But I know all of their music. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Stephen Malkmus one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know Stephen Malkmus.
Big time. Stephen Malkmus guy. Yeah, it's like one of your biggest guys.
And I was like, you need to get off the stage.
Get out of there, bitch.
Courtney Barnett was about to come
What about
on,
a
too.
Stephen Malkmus guitar solo, though? I feel like that guy's going all over the fucking neck.
Sometimes he's very jam band inspired,
yeah,
which I don't like, and so sometimes his guitar solos are very jammy. I like anything that is like resembles somewhat resembles like art rock. I'm very interested in, And he does that, but sometimes he does jammy stuff, which I don't care for. But
yeah,
have I ever told you about when I did a festival with Courtney Barnett? And there was a comedy area, which is always a nightmare at these music festivals.
Oh, because of the laughing you do.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it hurts your stomach.
You know? All the laughing, everybody's laughing so hard that it, people are laughing so hard it's ruining the band's ability to put on a good show for them because how tired everyone's laughing. So I'm headlining this comedy area, and they're like, "Dude, it's sick." You know, Beach House is headlining, and then you finish playing. This is before Courtney Barnett was like a big thing. They're like, "You finish playing, and then right when you finish, Beach House, not Beach House, no, Best Coast,
Best Coast.
Like, you then they play, and everybody will run out." And so I was so excited. I flew all the way there just to do this show. I was waiting. I invited some of my family from who live in Colorado. And then it was a packed room. Everybody was killing. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have so much fun. And then as soon as I walk onto stage, I can hear over the big loudspeaker, Courtney Barnett missed her flight. So here's Best Coast. And everybody, like I'm seconds after saying, here's Whitman Thomas. Everybody stands up out of their chair and laugh. And the producer of the comedy tent just literally walked up to the stage and said, "You don't have to perform."
So what you're saying is you share the same audience as Best Coast.
No, I didn't. I didn't get to.
No. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, people who like me like Best Coast.
Just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Just way more.
Yeah.
And then I didn't even perform. The guy was just, there's no one here other than your cousin.
Yeah. Do you want to do some jokes? And then your cousin, I guess.
Your cousin was like, well, "I'm good."
Yeah, she was like, "You can."
Where's
tell
Best
me.
Coast playing?
We really did. We went and watched Best Coast.
Yeah.
And then Nathaniel, Nathaniel Ratliff.
Ratliff.
Yeah. I wasn't there. Why are you asking me?
I didn't ask you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You looked. You were asking for help.
Sorry. Yeah. I was. I figured one of Ray you would know.
I don't know who that is.
When I said I wasn't there, I mean I wasn't at that tent. I was at Best Coast.
Yeah. No, me and Clay were there at Best Coast.
Well, I was there for a wit. Then I heard about this Best Coast news. I go, well, you know, I'm a Best Coast man.
Yeah, Clay's a Best Coast man.
Are you a Kid Rock man?
No, I'm a Kid Rock man, but I'm a Best Coast man. That's why I love shopping at Target or wherever.
You know, I'm
going to
be honest. I did like Kid Rock for a little bit.
I never liked Kid Rock.
When?
When it came out.
When it came out in high school.
Yeah.
I think when I was a freshman in high school.
It kind of felt like a little dangerous when it came out. Like, I don't know. There was an older...
It was kind of like, I think, right after nu metal. It was like almost nu metal, but like not quite.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of stopped there. That was it. Kid Rock was...
I think our thing was...
Then he did country music.
First music video was at a trailer park, and me and Whit were like... There's enough of it here. Like, we don't need more of this.
We don't need more of these guys.
Yeah.
I think, Rod, you probably liked it.
Before.
You probably liked it. Did you like wrestling growing up?
No, but I pretended to.
Yeah, I did too. Rod loved it. And so I feel like Kid Rock and wrestling go hand in hand.
Oh, yeah.
I had a friend who would invite me over to his house and force me to wrestle him.
Yeah.
And I hated it.
Sorry about that. Yeah,
did you ever have to wrestle your friends?
I'm sure I did, but not off the top of my head. I don't
get on the trampoline and do.
I hated it. I hated having
do some
to touch
power bombs.
Hated.
I wrestled my cousins, or, you know.
You got
to
wrestle
like
your cousins.
You got to wrestle your cousins. It's part of the
you
deal.
Got same age cousins. You're wrestling. Those
I got same age cousins.
Or you and your
can't get off. Can't get us off the mat.
Can't get me off my cousin. My same age cousin comes around these. You can't get my ass off of him. I love touching him.
I think we had the same experience growing up with Kid Rock. We were Eve 6 people.
I was an Eve 6 man.
Oh, my God. I had a weird Twitter interaction with Eve 6 recently.
Was it positive?
No.
Oh, what happened?
I mean, it was positive. It made me laugh.
What happened?
Eve 6... For anyone that doesn't, you should follow them on Twitter.
Recently got Twitter famous, Eve 6.
Wait, why are
they
unhinged on Twitter?
They just tell stories about...
Remember when Arby's was on Twitter and they go, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Well, they'll be like, the guy from Third Eye Blind's a dick.
Yeah, he'll just be honest about something from the 90s and you're like, oh shit, this guy's really doing it.
I need to follow. I love it. I need to follow Eve
Six. I love that.
What happened to you, Christian?
I was, one day I just checked my, whatever, was refreshing my Twitter or whatever, and somebody tagged me in like an Eve Six thread.
Hmm.
And I saw it just said like my name or whatever. So I was like, what is this? And I saw there's a tweet. I was a part of a, you know, that guy Adam who passed away last year from Fountains of Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
I was a part of a tribute album, Fountains of Wayne tribute album or whatever after he died. And I covered this song. I don't even remember the song I covered. But this tweet that Eve Six, they tweeted basically like, we're going on K-Rock tonight, and if any of you guys, like, I'm paraphrasing, if any of you guys, like, heard that bullshit, like, Chris Carrabba's cover of, oh, Red Dragon Tattoo, that's the song I did, of Red Dragon Tattoo, it's like a fucking, like, a stain on music history or something, like, it was really intense, we're gonna, like, redeem this song tonight by, like, covering it or whatever on K-Rock, and everyone's like, Chris Carrabba's didn't cover that song. And then a bunch of people started tagging me, and they're like, you mean Christian Lee Hudson or whatever?
Keep me out of this.
Well, I said, did you confuse... I responded and said, did you confuse me for the guy from Dashboard Confessional? And they responded back and said, no.
That's funny though.
Okay,
it was good. That was the end of it. But
and that was
they
that.
Did though.
Yeah, you did. You fucking liar.
Those freaking pieces of shit.
What is your brain in a blender?
Oh,
we're probably. Oh,
man, you know they had to feel good after writing that one.
That's like a Jewel level line.
Brain in a blender, heart in a blender. Yeah. Man, those guys. One time the I'd do a bit about emo lyrics or whatever, and the guy from Taking Back Sunday, the singer of Taking Back Sunday, Adam Lazara, tweeted, what is this joke you have about me?
Oh, no.
And I was like, nothing but coming from a place of love or something. I think I like totally just like cowered, just like on my knees. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for it to be mean or whatever.
You'd never think it's going to get back to Adam Lazara.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
But it did.
Yeah.
It really
regret,
did.
Regret
it to this day.
Yeah.
Did he write back?
Nope.
Well, it did come out of a place of love, though.
It really did.
Yeah, I love... You love Taking Back Sunday.
You got to. Clay pulled one of the meanest pranks.
Here's the thing. I was a gutter punk back then, and I thought all my friends were gutter punks. And like, listen, we're
and we were.
Up.
We
we're
just had, we up. Liked more than one thing.
We're gonna grow up, and we're gonna be gutter punks together. How's that sound, pal?
When we were 15, maybe.
Oh yeah.
And Clay, so we had a website.
I can't wait to turn 16, get in cars, go to all the gutter punk shows.
Clay, we had a website that we would go to called Gulf Coast Hardcore Scene.
Okay.
And it listed all the shows.
Oh yeah.
That were coming up.
Oh yeah.
Taking Back Sunday would never tour through the Southeast because it's not a practical place to tour because it's hard to make money.
Yeah.
Anyway, Clay, for some reason, photoshops that Taking Back Sunday onto the website and prints it off and brings it to me that Taking Back Sunday is playing at the American Legion.
All my friends were in this bit.
Everybody's in on it except for
this
me.
This bit came from straight hatred.
And Clay is, it was from a place of anger.
Yeah.
Brings it to me, and I am so excited. Like, holy fuck, they're finally coming. I get to see them.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, my friend Mason was like, dude, I was talking about it all day. All the fun stuff we're going to do on the way. Who's going to drive us? So like, sad. Which friend, which older brother? Oh, my God. Oh, dude. I'm just can't. I'm gonna get a shirt too. That said.
Here's another thing. I was really into graphic design.
Yeah.
And putting
everything had like
an effort into this flyer.
Oh, yeah. And then finally, my friend Mason was like, "It's not real. Clay photoshopped it." And
but
it
remember this. I will say this. just to make it seem like it was okay. You did turn straight gutter punk right after that, and then you came up to me and you said, "I saw my ways, and they were wrong." And we're gutter punk together.
No, you
forever.
Couldn't be more wrong. What ended up happening is that
what happened
is you came over to the other
side. Oh, you asked me to be a bass in your hardcore band.
Yeah.
And I said, sure.
That's what happened. So that
I was... feel like it's not that mean. What I'm hearing is you came from like a place of hurt.
Yeah.
And
But it was anger. It was
behind anger is sadness.
He was sad. He was, some might say, emo.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
But he was being gutter punk.
I was an emo gutter punk.
Did you ever have a gutter punk phase? And when we say gutter punk, we don't mean crust punk. I googled gutter punk the other day, and it's crust punk.
No, spiky hair. Punk. I think this.
You're talking about. Like,
I'm
casualties.
Thinking crust punk as I hear you say gutter punk. So
I think we had a certain lingo growing up. Like we that had was a wrong. Thing like skateboarding and the impossible when we get on the side of the trucks.
The primo.
We call it. It was primo, but we called it hospital.
Yeah.
And there's stuff like that we had that we kept on calling it gutter punk back then.
Called everything the wrong thing.
Yeah.
We mostly mean like the traditional punk, like the casualties.
Yeah, spiky hair
like the we're look talking about of like
any,
blue hair.
Any like spiky hair oi.
Oi, guys.
I never had that fate. I respected those people.
Okay, good. It's good to know you respect them.
Yeah.
You got to respect them.
You have to, because you get your ass beat if not.
They go, hey, dude.
Yeah, and which is feels like getting your ass beat, kind of.
Tim Armstrong, if he just talks to you. You go, hey, dude. Don't ever not like the thing I do.
I think his music is so poppy, though, so it's incredible.
Oh, my God. I watched a bunch of Rancid videos the other day.
I did a Rancid, a Tim Armstrong impression at the beginning of COVID.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Christian showed me this impression, and I was like, man, that's so good, and it's such a perfect parody of a Tim Armstrong song, and then
it is a real song. I did the real song. It wasn't like... I mean, it wasn't that good of a party. I didn't make it.
Did he have an acoustic thing going on?
He has an acoustic. His only signature guitar is an acoustic guitar, weirdly. What? I don't know why.
Weird. It's like, why do Anti-Flag had that Justin Sane, the worst fucking name.
Justin Sane.
He had an acoustic thing.
Love it. Because they want people to know.
Punks age into acoustic music. Yeah,
why?
And they start slicking their hair back always.
And some punks age into country music.
Yeah.
Some punks age... Well, a lot of punks age
into punks are doing music. Country music?
The guy from Tiger Army. What's that guy's?
Makes sense, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's a rockabilly band.
Social D.
Makes sense.
Also...
John Doe or whatever from... I mean, different era of punk. X. That era of punk, I feel like...
I think,
they
X has, like, a little rockabilly
music.
To it.
Yeah.
Any rockabilly is...
Billy Joe.
Yeah.
Arm.
Oh, I guess he sort of does a country thing sometimes.
This is not punk at all. I'm not saying this is punk, but used to work for a record label called Side One Dummy. I used to do video stuff for them. There's a little punk label that does like whatever they can now. And the guy from Foo Fighters started a country band.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh,
Chris,
cool.
I can't remember his name.
I had to film a show of his. And I was like, oh, this might be like Lucero or something. I don't know. Like, it's like a punk country, whatever. And I went there, and it's straight up just country. And the fans are just what you would expect with country. And it's just trash. I got embarrassed filming it.
Christian, you lived in Nashville in the country world.
Oh, yeah.
And what was that all? What was it like playing music down there?
You know, it's funny because I moved to Nashville during the period of time in LA where, like, it was the east side of LA become like, we wish this was Nashville.
Yeah.
This is Pappy and Harriet's full time now.
Oh, right. I filmed him at Pappy and Harriet's.
Oh, I'm sure you did. Chris Shiflett. That's his name.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
When I moved to Nashville, I was like, oh, no, I hate this. I don't want to be here doing this. I want to make indie. I want to make like indie rock music now.
How long did you live there?
Almost 2 years.
Did you move there to play music?
I moved there sort of. I had a friend that I went through like a breakup or whatever. My friend was like, I'm going through a breakup. I'm moving back to Nashville, and I need a roommate, man. You get out here in 2 weeks or whatever, and you can be my roommate.
Nice.
And so I moved out.
There's something about Nashville that seems cool, though. You got Harmony Korine and David Berman over there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. See, I didn't know about that. Like, I wasn't... That Nashville scene to me was, like, kind of inaccessible. All I saw was, like, Robert's Western World, like...
Yeah. My brother lived there, and, like, when I first moved out, and I went to a college in Georgia, I would, like, visit my brother in Nashville. I'm like, oh, Nashville's gonna be so cool. It's just, like, some southern... I just, like, had no identity where he lived. Just, like, right... He, like, lived right outside downtown, too.
Yeah, it's a tricky place. We've played a lot of shows in Nashville, and never they've always
the
been
show in Nashville
fun,
cool.
But there's never anybody really there.
Was Nashville the place where like we went to IHOP, like, or we went to whatever?
Well, Nashville has no good venues.
Yeah,
ironically, for being named Music City.
Yeah, it's weird. We played at a place called like Foo Bar or something.
Oh yeah, I used to live right around the corner from Foo Bar.
Yeah. And there was nobody there. It was a fun show, but nobody came.
Nobody ever at Foo Bar.
Oh, you're talking about when we played at the Muse. Oh, wow. When we were in high school.
The Muse?
Yeah, there's a venue called the Muse that...
In Nashville?
Yeah. That it went away, I think, a long time
ago. This is like 2014.
When we were in high school, yeah.
That was when you were in high school, 2014?
No. I'm talking about when we were in high school and we played the Muse. We did go to high school in 2014 because we are in our early 20s now.
Or we're well, you're there. Famously 40.
Fuck you guys. Yeah.
Well, we are in the world of this podcast. We're in our early 20s.
Oh, okay.
And Clay's dad is also Donald Trump.
No, 2000. Wait, what year? I'm 2004. The fuck is wrong with me?
Oh, well, your dad's dad Donald Trump. And so Clay's been really sad since the election because his dad is Donald Trump. Clay is forward thinking. He's like progressive, but he feels bad for his
dad. You can't help who your family is.
And he feels bad for his dad.
My dad is so funny.
You hate to see your dad lose.
Yeah. And his mom is Amy Poehler.
Yeah. Oh, anywho, well, I get my 2014s and 4s mixed up. So 2004, we were... playing at the Muse.
That sounds about right.
Is that and that's the venue that recorded us, right?
No, that's Ace's basement.
That's North
Carolina. In North Carolina. So this
there's a place in North Carolina called the Muse where they do record shows sometimes that is still there.
The Muse recorded us audio.
Oh, the Muse recorded the sound. Yeah.
Yeah. And my brother went there.
Did you guys pay for it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they always make you pay for it.
Those you just get a CD. Devils.
Yeah, they give you a CD. Oh my God, it's the oldest trick in the book. They're like, hey, there's like no one going to be at your show. It's like, hey, you guys go on in about 5 minutes. Yeah, people are going to file in. Like, by the way, I've got it all rigged up. You know, it'd be easy to just go ahead and record the show. And you're like, really? Like, all right, cool. Yeah, it could be a good show. And then afterward, they're like, oh, yeah, oh, my God, it was so great. Anyways, that's going to be like $30. And so, you know, and of course, you didn't make any money anyway.
They
so.
Sneaked it.
They do, yeah.
Those what little are you going to say?
And they have like a bad live recording of your show.
What is the most recent, the most recent.
Cool. Proof that you
so cool.
are horrible.
The most recent bad show that you played? Just
the last show. The last show that I played before the pandemic was horrible.
Where was it at?
I played at First Avenue in Minneapolis.
Oh, whoa.
And I flew out. It was like a one-off like fly-in show.
Yeah.
And I flew in like that morning and flew out at like 6 a.m. the next day. So I was like exhausted.
Holy shit.
And I think I was expecting it to be a good show because
it's a great venue.
First Ave. Yeah. The last time I played there, it was like fucking amazing show.
What band was that? Was that you or was it with a band?
I was opening for the band I was on tour with, the Phoebe Connor band.
Gotcha.
And then the fly date was opening for this guy, J.S. Ondara. And they were like, oh my God, like it's going to be a great show. His crowd's going to love you. It's a sold out show. It's a hometown show. He really wants you to be there. He's a big fan. Like it's just, you're going to have such a good time. And so all of this expectation is built into it. And immediately it's like, yeah. Horrible. People was fucking screaming the whole time. Somebody came and bought merch and then tried to return it. Wow. The only person that bought merch at like, it's a big place.
Yeah.
You know, to not sell any merch. And then one person is like,
he's like about to walk out the door and go, I don't need this.
No, it was what happened was I have this, all of my merch is like copyright infringement. I mean, that's kind of my whole thing. John Denver, you know. All that kind of stuff. So I have this shirt that's like the Misfits, but it says my name instead of the Misfits.
It says right. The Chris Fitz.
So, yeah.
Well, I like that because the Misfits famously stole that and that's, skull.
They don't sure. make a cent off that skull shirt.
Yeah, and I mean, no, nor do I.
Yeah.
Because nice. No one...
Because they return it. They buy well, it.
You
they
Venmo them for every sale. You Venmo them.
Except for the one that was returned. So this person came up to the merch table and was like, I got a... oh my God, like, I love your my boyfriend's such a big fan. I gotta get this for my boyfriend. And I was like, there's no fucking way. There's no fucking way that's happening. Or like, but in my, like, secretly inside, I was like, oh my God, maybe this is like the one pure, like, fan moment or whatever, and like a just horrible night. And she bought the t-shirt. I'm closing up the merch at the end of the night, and she comes back up to me and she goes, hey, what is this? And I was like, that's, you know, it's my t-shirt that you bought. She's like, yeah, but who are you? And I was like, I'm Christian. That's, it says my name on the shirt. She's like, I'm confused. Is there any way, do you do returns? And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't. I don't know how to work the app.
What the heck?
But yeah,
did she get you get to the bottom of it? Was she just like unhappy with the show?
Drunk and thought it was a Misfits shirt.
That was a Misfits shirt.
She got there late or something.
That's wild.
Damn. Oh, the Misfits are playing tonight,
dude. So it's
oh, the Misfits are.
Oh, opening? You know what? My boyfriend loves the Misfits, so yeah. I'm gonna buy a shirt.
I'd like to imagine her taking the shirt back to her boyfriend, and him being like, "What is this?"
It's got to be weird. I feel like it's probably pretty similar when you're playing like a really acoustic solo, also kind of soft show, as when nobody's paying attention or enjoying it, as it is when you're just like bombing as a comedian, because you don't have like the band practice element of the whole, you know what I mean? When you're with a full band and people hate it, it's like,
you have the camaraderie.
If it's loud enough, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
It's fun if it's loud.
And it's fun if they hate it, too, when you're with your friends or whatever. You can, you know that you're all going to go back and talk about how fucking horrible it is.
But if you're in a loud band and the people don't like it, you feed off of it. And you go, let's play crazier. Let's play messier.
Let's do stupid shit. Let's piss off the sound guy or whatever.
Yeah. It's harder to piss off the sound guy when you're a guy with an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could try to, like, make it feedback or something, but there's no way. Really, the only thing you could do is just continue to play. Sometimes, that's the only way to piss people off.
Nothing will make it more upset.
Sometimes I watch old Elliott Smith videos of him playing live in like a bookstore or something, and I go, you don't want to be there.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah.
No, but it is fun to watch his last show, I think, at the Fonda.
Oh, yeah, that one's pretty good.
Yeah. No, but there's all kinds of like where he botches it or he like can't remember the songs or...
No eye contact.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's not the type of guy that would go out and like be high-fiving people, like, you know, making sure that he hands the mic off to someone to sing, like, Say Yes or something.
Yeah. Dude, I played a show at South by Southwest. That's like the last terrible show I probably played. I fucking bombed. And the most embarrassing, like...
Well, yeah, for context, I think his pants fell down. And
my pants fell down and I had shit my pants. There's shit. Filled. My pants were
filled. Well, the show was going good.
Those
up
are the
to that
worst
point.
Yeah. Shows.
When really your pants actually accidentally fall down and they're filled with shit.
I actually have a real life story that sort of mirrors. It's close
what
to
is,
that.
What happened?
Well, I don't want to cut
if
off
the story
yourself
is not you played a show.
Well, my show is that I bombed. The gist of the story is that.
You didn't have shitty pants, though.
Clay made up a lie, and now Christian looked at me in a way that he had never felt more connected to me, and now he knows.
Right.
Well, now that I know that I'm probably the only person at the table that something similar has happened to.
I bet you Clay has a shit himself story that he could share with you.
If you play enough shows, you're gonna have shit in your pants well, at least once.
My favorite thing about being on tour is not knowing where to shit or how it works, like where I can do
that's
it.
That's all Clay's thinking about the whole time. Yeah. Like, we need to figure out how to get the motel now.
Just is it frantic? Okay, yeah, now it's frantic.
I think back then I had like my bowels were a lot worse. And when I get nervous, it just amplifies.
Oh, yeah.
And I was always nervous because he does a lot of edgy material.
Yeah, it's true. I go, I'm going to do some jokes here up top. You guys like Lenny Bruce? But I would, like, do a show, and we'd go to the venue, and then I would get into the bathroom, and I go, oh, there's no lock here. And I go sit in the toilet, and I go, how's the door going to stay open? And the door slowly starts opening.
It opens, and they've cut the stall door lower so you can't do cocaine in
and
it.
And I go, there's absolutely no way your man's going to shit in here. And I don't know what – I feel like if now I could go in anywhere and just shit with the doors open.
But you had to have been able to – like, there's always the experience, though, like, it's 5 minutes till showtime.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's no option to not shit now. That's kind of the best shit is like you get it all out as fast as you can.
My body like is like tricks me. My body likes to play pranks on me. It's really funny. And so I shit and I go, I guess that's all the shit my body has to offer.
And then it makes more.
And then I go on stage and then my body goes, Listen, guys, I have a goof on you. And the goof is, there's some more shit, and I don't know, what are you going to do about
it? We just found some other stuff, we turned it into shit for you.
we found a bunch of peanuts in the corner here. And you turn into shit. How's that sound?
We found an old corn dog and some peanuts. Yeah. What is the story about you?
Well, this is a piss story.
Okay.
It's not a shit story, and I would be honest about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Despite wits, lies.
Sorry,
I wouldn't change the story after I found out that you didn't.
Right.
Shit your pants. That's just something I wouldn't do.
Just so you know, that was Clay's lie. Like I would always. I'm an honest guy.
Yeah, I'm honest.
His pants fall. It was just jizz everywhere.
It's nut because I was looking at some paperback before the show.
Well, you couldn't explain that. They saw the
listening to the paper.
I was looking at some paperback right before the show. Didn't realize I left some nut in my pants before I went on stage. Oh, God. Yeah. What, Rod? You don't ever do a sneaky little nut? You don't know about it?
I usually know about my nuts.
You don't know about
here,
it.
Yeah.
This guy, you guys are making me feel crazy. I hate sneaky nut.
I hate going to a fucking green room, seeing some paperbacks, and going, here comes the nut.
Yeah, all right, sorry. What was the...
All right, so let me set the scene for you. It's my wife's band used to do this annual Christmas show. Every year they do like a big holiday show and they'd have a bunch of guests come up and do like specific songs. And this is like the first year, I think, after we got married. And they asked me to sing the big finale at the show, which was going to be... Happy Christmas, the John Lennon song. And
Happy Christmas, give me your money.
Don't
want to mess with Happy those little Christmas. Toys. I'll beat you up if you don't hand it over. That's the Kings.
Oh.
Go off.
Don't something like that, again. Though. I don't know. Yeah. It was. So we, the week before, I'm getting so psyched up because this is a big deal for me. I'm like, this, who knows who's going to be in the audience? Maybe like Joe Record Deal's going to be there.
Oh, wow.
He's going to be there?
You know, but yeah, he might be. And maybe he's feeling generous around the holiday season. He hears my.
Okay, if you don't know, Joe Record is from Victory Records.
Christian's, to this day, Christian's dream.
Joe, yeah, Victory Records, if I could just land a deal with them. It would change. I just feel like it would change a lot, and it would mean a lot to my younger self too. It would, it would kind of just.
Me and Whit are trust kill people. But
I'm a trust kill man myself. I'm an equal vision man myself.
Yeah. I'm a great jade tree.
So, it's a big deal for me. 3 days before, I think, just out of the nervousness, and I was recording at the time. I lost my voice. I got laryngitis. And I was like, fuck. Like, okay, I've got 3 days to get my voice back. It's going to be all right. You're going to power through this. You're going to impress Joe Record Deal. And it's all going to work out for you, Christian. And day of show, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to talk or try to sing. I'm just going to like be silent the whole day. wait for this moment, and I'm just gonna fucking crush it. And I'm backstage at the show, waiting for, you know, to hear my name or whatever. Come out to the stage, Christian Lee Hudson, for our big finale, the most important song of the night. The most important person here, maybe. A lot of people, you should know about this guy. You know, whatever I thought they were going to say. And I wasn't keeping good track of time. There's a bathroom in the back. And I'm like, all right, I feel like I probably have enough time to piss before they call my name. And I'm like mid-piss. And that's when I hear it's the moment. They're like, all right. We want to invite, especially for the listening pleasure of Joe Record Deal tonight, our friend Christian Lee Hudson to sing the John Lennon Christmas classic, Happy Christmas or whatever. And I'm mid-pissed and I'm like, oh, fuck. So I like cut it off. It's extremely painful. I'm like, oh, I got to get my shit together. I cut it off, pull my pants up, no time to wash my hands, turn around. I'm still peeing. I'm like... I didn't cut it off
hard enough.
Hard enough, I guess. It was just the nerves, you know? And I'm wearing khaki pants.
No!
I was about to bring it up.
I'm wearing khaki pants. And it's honestly the last time I've ever worn khakis.
I did the same thing.
Never worn khakis again.
That's the last one. Mm.
I take my pants off. Mm. I take my boots off. I'm wearing big lace-up boots. I take my boots off. I take my pants off. I'm like, I gotta solve this. They're yelling. They're like, Christian, where are you? Like, oh, maybe he's outside.
What is this, Mr. Bean?
Yeah. I mean, it feels like it. My pants are off. I'm in the turkey backstage. I'm like, yeah. I take my underwear off. I throw my underwear away. I don't know why.
Oh, it doesn't
fix anything. And then I'm just like, all right, I gotta like get my, it's too late. I gotta get out there. And I put my pants back on, throw my boots back on. I splash a bunch of water on my pants to like...
Oh, this guy just spilled a bunch of water.
I feel like more is better than... Like a little says you peed. Yeah. A lot says, this is a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
I fell in the toilet.
Sure. Well, you know, whatever. It could be anything. You know, it doesn't say pee to me. So I run out onto the stage. I trip. I forgot to tie up my boots and I fall on the stage. I'm like, all right, how am I gonna? All right, everyone's laughing at me on stage. All right, we're having a good time, you know, we're laughing it off. The band counts in or whatever, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then it's my first time singing that day. I go, and so this is Christmas.
Oh, man.
You can't be doing that after your piss.
Yo, piss-covered Mr. Bean over here. You're just like Mr. Bean because you can't even make a noise.
Covered in piss.
Wouldn't be surprised if you went.
Fly open, boots untied, can't sing. It's a long song when you got laryngitis, too. It's like fucking feels like a million years long.
Yeah.
But I did the whole song.
Holy shit.
Like that, and then that was the finale.
And Joe Record Deal?
I mean... Joe Record Deal, we don't know if he was there or not.
Yeah. He's probably still thinking about it.
He could be.
Probably feeding that bulldog.
From Victory Records?
Yeah.
Clay, man, you're killing it with these references.
Do you think he would listen to a podcast like this?
Of course.
Oh, he listens to every. Clay's got those Side One Dummy connects.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks for giving me a platform to just share my side of what happened.
So they now they know.
Victory Records.
Can you hear that, Joe?
They know. Joe Record Deal from Victory knows that that's why you weren't making... You were having a tough night.
That's all I've ever wanted him to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta have a strong shaft to be wearing some khakis.
You do. Like, you really do. It's not forgiving.
Mm-mm. I used to wear them at work. I mean, Rod worked together and...
But I still don't believe that.
And I'd have to cut... I mean, I'd have to triple check that there is no spray.
I'd have to put your pecker in a fucking paint shaker.
Oh, yeah. Put some what?
Put your pecker... Do you understand? I'll do word by word.
You have to explain pecker what in a
paint
you
shaker. What's a paint shaker?
You mean like a spray paint can?
You ever have to shake the sucker off when you're wearing your khakis?
Yeah, but the thing is my pecker... We were talking about this in the Patreon. You ever see a normal sized dick in porn? And you go, what are you planning on doing with that piece of shit? That's how I am when I'm shaking my dick.
We call that
if
a
you
my
got
size.
A big old porn style, paperback style honker,
right.
You can shake that thing as much as you want, and it's not getting on your khakis because it's 2 feet away from them.
It's true. If you got a little speck down by your knee, that doesn't say pee.
No, that says like, oh, you stepped in a puddle.
It's like if you're in a cave and a drop falls from the top of the cave and it goes down, it evaporates by the time.
Oh, that's basically what happens when you got an old, long, big tall old long Sally. Long.
Yeah.
But if you got one of these normal old pieces of shit, that thing is spraying all over your khakis, and then you're gonna have to go out on the big show. But with you, you're having a hard time cutting it off. There's a lot going on.
There was a lot happening.
Yeah. I've never could imagine a cutoff would ever be successful.
Chop off?
It isn't. There's no way for it to be.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah.
Who thought this thing up?
Cutting it off?
No. Who thought just making it so hard to cut it off? I mean, I've told. Have I told?
If you should
you think
have
this
a hard,
should be a nozzle.
Yeah,
I could cut off a shit if I want.
Oh yeah, I could pinch it, slice it.
I'll save you.
Well, you're safe. You're not gonna. There's not gonna be a little shit spot on the back here. I mean, maybe
there will be, but nobody's gonna know about it.
I don't know if you know Clay Tatum well enough.
It's gonna be deep in the hole in the crevice.
This is the amount of Scooby stains I've walked around with.
Excuse me, the what now?
Scooby stains. My uncle called them Scooby stains.
I remember when I first met you, you said, I made Scooby stains. You go, whoa!
I go, damn it, another Scooby stain.
You gotta make some Scooby stains.
I understand that this is not normal for the Cavalry, but I have an uncle that called them Scooby stains.
I mean, dude, we've all had our issues with pissing and shitting.
You want tissue?
Clay. Sorry. It's not funny.
Yeah.
But, thank you. I mean, we've all done bad, stupid things live. I'm trying to think of something equally as embarrassing, but I can't.
I'll tell you a story that for Christian. I've told this millions of times. I went camping one time and I went to shit and I went next to a tree to shit. People listen to podcasts, so it's a story. And I pulled down my pants, I pooped, right, next to a tree,
mm-hmm.
And I stood up to wipe my ass, and I looked down, and every bit of the shit is in my pants.
You just did a loaf under your jeans.
You just did a bad squat.
I angled it wrong.
A man did a bad squat.
And it just went, I was basically straight up, and it went down to my pants.
Mm-hmm.
I got shit in my underwear.
Oh, yeah.
Drooped down to my pants.
Well, it's weird when you're a little kid and you're shitting your pants. It's just because you're having so much fun and you don't want to stop.
Yeah,
this
course.
Is like 21 in the story.
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah. It's different. Or when you're pissing yourself, it's like, I'm just having fun, dude. I don't want to fucking stop. I'll piss myself. I don't care.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
But as a grown-up, as soon as you get a speck of this piss or shit on you, you're like, what the fuck? Like, it shakes you to the core.
Sometimes I piss at night. And I'm wearing my blue underwear, my light blues, I call them. As my family knows, my light blues. And I pee, and I get done peeing, and I put on my pants. And there's some speckle in my light blues,
because
I wasn't done.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, maybe I'll hang out in the bathroom. I don't need my wife to see I'm speckled my
blues. You don't want it. Blues. You don't want her to know.
You wait for it to dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks at, what do you look at? YouTube videos about all the best Litecoin.
Yeah, investment.
But that, you know, waiting for it to dry, it's not fixing anything.
Yeah.
You're just you're covering up. It's still there. You still got the speckle on your pants.
It's not noticeable.
Well, yeah, but you're hiding it.
You're hiding it, but like if you,
I'm still bringing piss
to my. You're basically lying to your wife.
You're bringing piss to the bed.
Piss to bed with your wife.
Piss to bed with my wife, but
a friend of mine told me recently, and this is the first time I ever thought about this. She's like, all men's underwear smell like piss. All of them.
Well, there's
all
a reason
the time,
for that.
And you guys think you're getting away with it. But it all, anytime we go down there, it just smells overwhelmingly of piss. Wow. And it made me just feel.
I think I'm still getting away with it.
Better.
You are?
Rod!
I think I'm getting away with it.
Oh, Rod's Mr. Clean over here. Rod, you piss, what, twice a day?
No, I piss a lot.
Well, Clay's known for drinking.
So you know what you're doing then.
I drink a beer every night and a cup of water.
One cup of water during the... So you're never pissed.
Well, that's why you're going at nighttime right there.
Yeah.
I'm pissing
a shit. 20,
I'd say 20 night. Times a day.
That's a lot. That seems like a lot.
Okay, 10 times a day.
You have a prostate.
So kind of a maybe. Lot.
Is that a prostate thing? But it's a full loaded piss.
Drinking a lot of water.
I drink a lot of water.
Piss 10 times.
He drinks a lot of piss.
Full long piss like you've never seen. It is. I'm saying sometimes I could fill the toilet.
I don't believe that.
Well, I have dreams I do.
Sometimes he forgets stuff.
I had dreams I do.
I will say sometimes I used to be roommates with Whit a lot, and he would forget to flush. And that thing would it's be. Funny because it's the word flush because the piss was flush with the top of the.
I say, I didn't. You say, Whit, you forgot to flush. And I go, did you see that? I didn't forget to flush. That's full well flush.
That's full well flush. I said flush the commode, you simple bitch.
I say, don't call me that name.
I said, well, come here, pull the chain.
I say, I can't. I'm listening to Wolfmother.
You're listening to Wolfmother eating wet cabbage. I miss cabbage. Being roommates.
Be cool, man. I'm trying to listen to Wolf Parade.
Yeah. All the Wolf bands.
Yeah. A lot of Wolf bands. I'm trying to listen to the fucking
Wolf Eyes.
Remember when every trailer
Sound
was
of
Wolf
Animals
Mother?
Fighting. Oh yeah, dude. Wolf
Every
Mother
trailer
up.
Was Wolf Mother.
They got a lot.
Wolf
of
Mother. That. That's like the Led Zeppelin type band.
Yeah,
right?
Woman, you be a woman.
You got to be a woman.
Say, like, all right.
Wait,
I
is
am.
That not Led Zeppelin?
No.
Remember the others? What was the other Led Zeppelin band?
Oh, there's a new band. My
oh,
brother.
That's,
what are they called? Fuck, what are Greta they called? Van Fleet.
Greta Van Fleet.
My brother. So this is how behind Alabama is.
It sounds like a singer.
My brother just called me and was like, "Dude, you know what everybody's listening to down here? That's." I was wondering what you thought of it. Is Greta Van Fleet. And I was like, man, y'all are just getting that down there? What is everybody thinking? Everybody loves it. It's
the
biggest,
shipping is
biggest
really
band ever down here. It's Greta Van Fleet.
Wow.
It's just like a... It's like
Greta
a
Van Fleet and Theo Vaughn, just nonstop.
People loving Theo Vaughn.
What is Theo Vaughn?
That's Theo Vaughn is like a really like basic-ass comedian that goes, oh, what if a fat person was at a buffet? They would never leave. Like type of shit.
That sounds funny.
That sounds funny. The most simple fucking brain shit.
It's pretty good, though.
Yeah, it was really good.
I mean, Clay, that is a good joke.
I was laughing when he said that. I was like, what if a fat person didn't went to a buffet?
Did you ever go to the comedy theater that was in Santa Monica in the alleyway behind the promenade?
No, I know where it is, but I never went there. I think I've only been to like one or two comedy shows in my life.
What the hell?
Yeah.
What did you do? Who did you see?
Well, I opened a comedy show.
Yeah.
And then I did. My friend worked at this place called The Stand in New York.
Oh yeah.
And I went, and it was. I just didn't want to go. It makes me nervous, you know. Yeah. I don't want. It's like going to watch like in a small room like that. It's like,
yeah,
get the wrong guy up there. It's like a loaded gun pointed at the crowd, and I'm like, you know.
Yeah, it makes you nervous. Yeah,
it makes me. I don't want to be singled out. You know, I'm there to. I'm not there. I don't want to be there.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna go. So,
yeah, comedy's dead. It's dead, right, Clay?
Are you? Does that make you feel bad that I say I didn't want to go? Is that why you say it's dead?
No, no, no. I agree. That's how I feel when I think about going to a comedy show or doing a show.
I think I just every day I just go, can't wait to see stand up again. Love stand up. Best.
Can't go back to the store. Love going. How you got to get back to the store?
Love going to a stand up show. Laughing.
It is a trip to go to the comedy store.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing. There's truly.
You know what they're selling there?
What?
Laughter.
What about the factory makes it? And they sell it to the store.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what does the improv do?
They make it up on the spot and laugh.
And laughing. And they're getting my money.
They're getting my money, too.
Have you ever done a comedy show in Nashville?
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Zanies?
Comedians in Nashville are very
good. Not in Zanies. No.
I don't know. I've
never been. I never performed there.
When we did a show in Nashville one time, and it was just like a music venue.
The comics are great. At Foo Bar, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, the comedy scene in Nashville is pretty solid.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we did it all over that tour. It was like all these weird ass venues. The Hangar in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It was weird. No, not a lick of a. No, what? Did you ever perform in Jacksonville, Florida?
Yes.
Do you remember where you were at?
It was called the Underbelly.
Okay. I've been there.
Yeah. You have?
Yeah.
It's a big like, open floor plan, just like warehouse type space.
Yeah.
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 Was it with a band?
No, I played their solo, I think.
Was it good?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of shows that I've played.
Was there a lot of rape jokes? I know it's
not. That's what...
I don't know.
In the comedy world, there's a lot of rape jokes.
Not, but I don't know if there was or not. It was. This is a music show, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. In Jacksonville.
Yeah, well, that's my only memory of Jacksonville. There's a lot of rape jokes.
Yeah, everybody was going. And they were also going like, yeah, everybody's, oh, what, you're not Lebanese because you're afraid. Like that kind of comment.
And that's I raised my hand. Eric Cartman. And I said, I'm scared.
Eric Cartman's on stage. Yeah. He was being really edgy.
He was doing really well. But
at first, they loved his cheesy poof stuff.
Yes.
But they didn't love his I wish Hitler was still alive stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hitler was right.
Too far.
Hitler was right about
that. Yeah, Cartman, you can't say that.
And I'm like, I don't like this bit. Go back to the cheesy poofs.
He goes, can you pay?
And I was laughing.
Laughing at cheesy poofs.
He said, respect my authority, and I was laughing.
laughing at that. Yeah. Ooh, funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any big stunt? Like, you're going to go on tour in the new year, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go on tour at the end of this year. I mean, if everything, unless, you know, whatever the fuck happens.
And do you ever think about having like a fun stunt that you're going to pull for every show that's a joke that gets a big laugh? Or do you kind of already do that?
I don't do it every time. I mean, like sometimes if there's like, I usually try to go in with no plan. And if there's something that works, sometimes I'll try it again. It always doesn't really work again.
I was trying to learn how to play one of your songs. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what song it is, but they had a... You go, I can't remember what the bit... You're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then it's like very quiet afterwards.
1, 2, 3, and then it's super duper quiet.
Yeah. Do you remember what the song is?
No idea.
And that's a funny bit. That's a classic bit.
I did, for a while I was counting things off just with the number 2.
Oh, nice.
Just going, 2.
We did a bit, you know, not to toot our own horn, but this is a bit that we really committed to, and it bombs full force bomb, where we played a venue, and we brought all of our band equipment. This is as a comedy group.
Yeah.
This is as our old sketch group, and we set up... Our whole 10-minute set was us setting up all of our equipment, sound checking, tuning, breaking it down, and leaving. We didn't play a song.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
That was it. And then we said, sorry, we got a show across the street. Not a peep of a laugh.
Uh-uh. Yeah, that's...
Imagining laughing at that.
I think you would have to be famous for that to work.
There is I saw a famous person do a version of this.
Okay.
That it really, it also didn't work. So, you know, for what it's worth. And now as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, was it a bit? I feel like it had to have been because of how long it happened for. But I went to Hollywood Forever Cemetery for one of the, like, Sinespia movies a couple years ago. And Fred Armisen and Billy Idol, like, were supposed to play a song together. And I was stoned, so it felt like it was like 2 hours. But I feel like it was at least 30 minutes they were trying to get the microphones to work.
Oh.
Or like they were just like trying to figure out, like, hello, can you guys, I don't know if this is, something isn't working. And every time they'd be just about to start playing the song, you know, it wouldn't happen.
It's a classic on paper bit. On paper it's funny.
There's a lot of bits that are really funny to talk about after they bomb. Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember that terrible thing we tried to do?
Well, we did one thing where we had our friend Bud fall asleep on stage, and all the comedians had to do whisper comedy.
So they wouldn't wake him up.
That bombed really hard.
Yeah, that really bombed. I mean, there's a lot of shit like that.
Didn't you guys have Bud take, like, smoke salvia or something? Oh, yeah. That one was really good.
That worked. I wish we could do that every show.
Oh, yeah, we did a lot of stuff like that to Bud, but, you know, hey... You live, you learn. You know, what can you do? I mean, I'm excited to get back out there. You know, play some shows. Remember what it's like to...
Yeah, I can't wait to
eat shit.
Yeah. Get back in the seat, the stand-up show.
Front row.
Mm-hmm.
Clay loves the front row.
Are you
row.
Excited?
Is this the
to
last comedian? Is there not more? I don't find more. I need more.
12 comedians? That's it?
Are you 12? It's only been 4 hours. I want more.
More guitar solos. Let's
yeah.
Go.
We're supposed to review The Dark Knight. And
what would you give it?
I'd give it a 10 out of 10. I love it. I love the movie. We watched it on my birthday a few days ago in my backyard. And I just got to say, the Joker in The Dark Knight is so cool. And Batman, all the stuff he does is great.
Yeah.
And
didn't you already review this?
We have. Reviewed it in the past.
Oh, okay.
Wait, you mean today? Oh, we reviewed it probably. On the show. Oh no, talking out there, we probably did.
Oh, I just meant on the show. You probably.
Oh, I've reviewed it many times.
Oh yeah, I think it's probably the fourth or fifth time
here.
Anyway, I love it, and for all of those reasons, I give it an easy 10 out of 10. Right. What about you, Rod?
Oh yeah, Dark Knight is actually it's one of the best. You got to give it a 10.
Why?
The bank robbery scene. Fucking gets me. Okay. I love that shit.
I love that.
10 out of 10.
Okay. What about you, Christian?
I give it a 10 out of 10, I guess, you know? I wasn't here for the party or whatever the fuck it was, but... Yeah. So I didn't watch it. It's not fresh in my mind, but... You know, the Joker? What's not to like? How can you hate on it?
Tell me about it.
Yeah, that's it.
You're damn straight about that. I love it. And he's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think a hot Joker would work. And now every Joker's hot.
You gotta be hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're the Joker, you gotta be hot.
They really changed the... Because Nicholson, like older Nicholson, it's not hot.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No, he's 50-year-old Joker is not nearly as cool as a 26-year-old Joker.
Cesar Romero, I don't know, maybe he's hot in his day.
Well, it's hard to know because he's so bright and colorful.
Yeah.
You would like a Joker in the 20s.
Was that?
Just straight out of college.
Cesar Romero?
Freshly out of college. No, that's what Clay wants.
Yeah, you want like a young...
You need a younger...
I want a teenage Billie Eilish style Joker.
Yeah. That would be fucking...
You know, look, kind of Billie Eilish is Joker, if you think
about
it.
Or like a...
Billie Eilish has Joker.
I would say a Joker that's like, just like, 1, 2, getting on the feet for the first time.
Ooh, 2-year-old Joker?
Yeah.
Oh, learning to walk. Good.
That would be a great origin. I'd like to see that.
The origins of how he found out how to talk.
Well, and he becomes... Well, don't get us wrong. Listen, we know this sounds ridiculous. He doesn't become Joker until he goes to kindergarten.
Right.
This is just the lead up.
But the first words that he learns... You feel a building.
Yeah.
Mommy, Daddy.
Oh, wow.
What do you give the movie?
You want me to review it?
Oh, yeah.
When it came out?
It came out...
When did we watch it? When did we watch it?
We're talking July 15th, 2008. This is just off the top of my head.
I'm taking that information in. What time? When did we watch it?
On May 3rd, 2021.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Clay Tan. This is my video of the Dark Knight movie, which was filmed and released May 3rd, 2020, in the year of the COVID-20 pandemic. In this movie, Batman comes out, and it's really dark, and then Joker comes out. And he's named Joker because he does stand-up, and he tells you the 12 words you can't say on TV, and that when you hear that, you start laughing and laughing because this is the first time you heard curse words. That's why it's so funny. And for that and everything else I said about the movie, I give this movie a perfect 10 out of 10. I can't imagine a better movie made in the year 2020 during the COVID-20 pandemic.
COVID-20. COVID-20. All right, Christian, Rod, what do you have to promote?
I don't really have to promote anything.
You got Twitch.
I have
a Twitch, there.
But yeah, they
you
know
were
that.
Talking about.
But Christian is the one who.
I know, but we go. He saved him for the last.
You saved him for the last.
Oh yeah, I just have my Twitch. You can
we're
check
gonna
it
Twitch
out.
Tomorrow. I already made that up because we can't Twitch.
Dad, we're gonna Twitch today then.
No, we're not gonna Twitch today.
But that's tomorrow is when the podcast comes out.
Yeah.
Oh, so that will be the Twitch. I still don't understand Twitch, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, Rod just Twitches all the time. You go twitch.com/Rodney_Berry.
It's just Rodney Berry.
Rodney
Berry,
sorry. I got, you know, just look at all the, look at me on,
just
online.
Just look at him.
Look at
him. Clay, so listen to the podcast.
There's the podcast.
That you're already listening to.
Yeah.
And Christian, you're online as Christian Lee Hudson.
Oh, yeah. You can find me. Not Houston or Huston or whatever the fuck you said.
Yeah, not that. Hut.
Hut. Like Jabba the Hut.
Yep.
Sin. Pizza Hut.
I like that. I think I like that.
All right, let's order another pizza.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
And you can listen to his album called Beginners.
Wait, how long do you think we've done this podcast?
Like
an hour?
20 years? Oh.
123. Can you believe it?
It's because we got a friend with us.
That's true.
Is that long or short?
That's long.
Once we get to 45 minutes, we're like, I want to stop.
That's because we got some new blood here with us. We got
some new blood.
Well, what were you saying about Beginners? Pants shitting story.
Yeah.
Really good.
What were you saying about Beginners?
It's a great story. His album is called Beginners, which is crazy because it's full of enders.
Wow.
Oh.
That's
Skate lingo.
And that's skate lingo for really good songs.
Wow.
Oh. Thank you.
If you listen to his song Northsiders, it's basically a backside flip down the Hollywood High 16.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. I don't know what any of that means, but that sounds nice.
You listen to Get the Band Back Together Again. That's like a hard flip back lip down a five stair. And that's a short rail.
So that's harder.
That's really hard.
And he's got a little guitar solo in there, too, for the people.
And that's a backside lip.
And he's got a new album coming out sometime soon. It's called Scooby-Doo Shaggy 2.
We haven't confirmed that yet, but that...
Well, you have a song that goes, you can be Scooby-Doo.
Well, that's not... Hey, listen, you're gonna...
That isn't...
We're going to get a strike.
You don't have that song?
No, that isn't true.
You can be Shaggy 2.
This
you
is
can
not.
Be Scrappy.
You know what? This is the craziest thing. What? Right now, he's like, no, no, no. And then
he's writing this down. You can tell.
He's writing it down. We all love Scooby.
I don't need to write it down because if it's good, you're going to remember it.
You're going to remember it. It's clocked in there.
I can't say for sure. Right now.
You're into the studio tomorrow and go, I got this crazy idea. You know Scooby Doo?
You're not going to believe this.
You're not going to believe this. All
right. Roll the tape.
Roll the tape.
All right, I'm going to go watch The Circle. Y'all cool with
that? Yeah, all right, bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.